So I get to bring an end to this celebration. I don't know what that says about me. I'm the end. You know, I've noticed over the last few days a number of speakers wanted to thank people for all that they've done. And I noticed one really significant person was missing in all of it. And I was really looking at all the different people and all they put into this. And one person sacrificed more than any other person. So you're welcome. I went without my wife for months, and I am a high maintenance person. So no one sacrificed more than me. So really, you are welcome. Okay. Now that we got that out of the way, Heavenly Father, I bless you. I bless you from the day we were birthed till today and till what lies ahead, and I bless your people. And Father, let us just grab a hold of what you have for us. Lord, let us feed on it, digest it, and make it fruitful for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Bruce, and that pretty much sums me up. Yeah, I was born into this church a while back, 1963. So I'll be 62 this year. I know I don't look it. I've aged really well. I tell myself that all the time. And it really helps me to serve with people slightly older than me and that don't look as good. So, it was really something because, you know, this is like dressed up for me, but Terry and Steve really like made me look dressed up compared to them last night. And I thought, okay, you know, they're still my elders, so they're setting the bar. But it was good. So I have this history in the church where I can still remember when the chapel was being built. I was like 3 years old, but I can remember the cement and still jumping off the stairs and those sorts of things. And I've heard so many different things, so I'm just going to kind of recap in limited ability the whole events of things. For those of you that are newer to the church, but you're deciding to hang out here, call this home, there's a foundation that you need to be aware of. There's a history that you need to be aware of. And this place exists because of a move of God. And I grew up, and that was my normal. God always moved. And people didn't sit in their pews. They had the whole Lakeshore dance thing, and legs were flinging, and you know, people twirling, and I've actually seen people roll down in the aisles and stuff. And holy rollers is a great term. You know, we should celebrate those sorts of things. We should celebrate God's presence in our midst. We should be a joyful people. One of the things I observed on Friday, which was the beginning of heat, I wrote down two words for the night. Love and joy. And I watched people that I hadn't seen in a while and all that connect with, I'm assuming people they hadn't seen, and all I saw was love and joy. And it brought me back to my early days in this place, which I'll touch on in a little bit. And then there's Saturday, all these words that were spoken. Cheryl mentioned legacy. Lorene mentioned heritage, specifically a heritage of music. And she mentioned faithfulness. Mark mentioned beauty. One that really grabbed me was Mason's, and it rings so true, and I don't know if you caught it or not, but he said, it's hard to be a sowing church. And for those of you that have served in leadership, and it's hard to be a sowing church. But God has called us to be a sowing church. You know, we've heard the lighthouse, we've heard the oasis, you know, where people come in, they get refreshed, they get reinvigorated, and they're sent out. Now, I don't know how many of you have been parents. I never wanted my children to leave. I'm just being honest. And for me, it's no different. It's hard to send any of you out. It's just hard. And then some leave without being sent. And that's hard. You know, it's hard to be a sowing church. However, I know eternally we're going to be a reaping church. We're going to be people that reap eternally. So if we have to sow a little in this temporal world and it's painful, it's worth it for an eternal purpose. So that really stood out with me. And Beth mentioned something in the context, which I love. She used the word relationship with Holy Spirit. So those are just some of the things that have stood out to me. And there's a lot more, but everyone knows I'm a pretty quick speaker, so we'll go with that. I'll touch a little bit on the past, but I'm going to talk briefly on the present. Some of the things that are going on, and I don't know if you've seen the pictures and all that of plans, but we do have plans now for another building to be built. There's a school that's going on here, and it keeps growing, so we want to be able to better house it. There's a college that is going on and growing, and I know Esther has vision for a missions training center, so we want to start preparing for that. We've had visions of a prayer center, so we want to be prepared for that, and a worship center, so we want to be prepared for that. And God's given us a lot, so we're going to start doing stuff with it, and He can figure out the how. We're just going to plan it. So, you know, we can sit and wait for God to do stuff, or we can make the plans and then say, okay, God, we're ready whenever you are, so we can just participate with Him, and then it makes it a journey that's so much more fun. So, for those that know me, I really don't worry about money. I've never worried about money. This church doesn't worry about money, and God always takes care of it. So let's think big. $100 million is my number. So what's the problem? You know? So that's where we are today. That's kind of where we'll be going. But there's so much more to tell. So I've asked myself this question, and I'm sure I could come up with lots of different answers, but I'm a very simple person, and I'm going to keep this very simple. Here's the question: what makes Lakeshore, now The Encounter, special or unique? And I'm asking myself this, so you're going to get my answers. You don't have to agree with them. That's okay. I'm not looking for agreement today. I got the mic. You got to honor it and listen. Here's my opinion. I boiled it down to two things: Him and you. So I want to talk just briefly about each one of those things. I want to talk about His manifest presence first. Exodus 33, verse 14 says, "The Lord replied, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.'" Some of us, after this weekend, need rest. Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us?" I'm speaking to The Encounter. What else will distinguish us from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Now, 2018, I think I heard that we changed the name to The Encounter. Yeah. We changed the name to The Encounter so everyone would understand what we're about. Now, I believe there's been some seasons in the church, and I already said the church was birthed in revival. And I understand the manifest presence of God and all those sorts of things, but we have really been in a season at the Encounter of pursuing His presence. We have been a presence-centered church. Okay? That is our present. Presence is our present. Okay? Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Love and joy. Foundation, very foundation of a presence-centered place. If you're a presence-centered person, your foundation is love and joy. Because when you find Him, you overflow with love and you're filled with joy. Okay? Again, I'm keeping this very simple. His presence. Him. What makes us unique? He makes us unique. You make us unique. That's why it's hard to be a sowing church. Because whenever you leave, somebody has to come fill the void. And there's a void. Sometimes it's just in our heart. God's way bigger than that. When I think of what I grew up in, here's what I grew up in. Acts 2:42. You're all familiar with this passage. We were a New Testament church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now for me, that's the lakeshore I knew. I saw and grew up in a place where people were sincerely devoted to one another. They cared for one another. No one had need because there was people that their only passion was to make sure those needs were met. They longed to be together. Being at church was no big deal. That's where we wanted to be. Twice on Sundays, every day. Especially once the gym was built because all kinds of activities were going on. People wanted to be together. So I'm seeing this lakeshore. Not that you weren't about Him, but to really boil it down for me, it was about the people. It was the love of God flowed through you in a manner that made you love one another in ways that to me are not natural. It was supernatural. And there was this season of my life where I just saw people love one another. And I was moved over the weekend to see that again. Takes a lot to move me. It really does. It takes a lot to move me. I was moved. I'm wrecked. Just with what God was doing over the weekend. And you know, there's a way that God is a great waste disposal person. Because, you know, people have been, whenever there's people, people are hurt. Whenever there's people are offended. All this stuff. And the enemy uses all these things to make us not be together. And God has a way of just coming in and wiping all the garbage away and reconnecting people. And that's what I was just seeing, all this stuff. And it moved me. See, what makes this place unique is you. So I see this thing happening, and it ties into what Dennis shared about the three reigns in that prophecy. And there was this move that I saw in my life of people loving one another the way God wants us to love one another. Then I saw people that pursued His presence, and that's all that mattered. And you know what? That can be messy. And it can also hurt people. Because you're so in love with God that you can neglect people. And He's never called us to be that way. If we're really pursuing Him, we will pursue one another. But there's a season coming where these two things are not in opposition. And I'll just call it for me, since I get to speak. The season of the kingdom. See, there's no competition of the kingdom. His presence is everywhere. You can't escape it. Wherever you pursue it, you find it. And guess what? We get to do it together. There's nothing to divide us. When we pursue him, we find each other and we find him in you. The greatest mystery in the word is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We need to find a way to let Christ out of us and realize that it's not so much me and him where everything's washed away, but him and me. So glory goes wherever I go, and I can spill it out wherever I go upon you and upon you. And the world's changed because his glory is in his people. That's where we're heading. No opposition anymore, no division. I've seen people over my life, and all they look for and everything is what they disagree upon. I don't understand that. I don't care if you have a different opinion than me. I really don't care. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that's all that matters in my world. He's Lord. No argument, end of all arguments. If you want to think about anything else in another way, have at it. I'm going to experience him how I experience him, and I'm willing to share that with you as much as you'll let me. And I want you to experience him and share that with me so I can find him and experience him in a new way. So, him and you is what makes us unique. And to me, the whole weekend testified of that. So, as a little ad for all you choir people, you are now obligated. And I'll give you 3 months. I'm not kidding. I want us to have, whether it's a Sunday night or Saturday night, all singspiration and, you know, celebrating everything was great, but I just want to worship God with you. So I want the choir and worship, and we're just going to have a night. So some of you people need to make that happen. And I will take credit that I sacrificed for it. But I'm serious. We need to worship together. That was just awesome. You know, a long time ago, again, I've been raised in this church. I went to Brownsville, and I went because it was a free trip. I'm serious. It was paid for. I had no interest in it. I don't need to go anywhere to find God. But I had an experience there with the manifest presence of God. And I was just standing in line, which I couldn't understand why people stand in line to all day to get into a service. But have you ever like stood in the ocean when it's really blowing and it almost knocks you over, and wave after wave? That's how the presence of God was for me while I was standing in line. And I wasn't telling people. I just knew it was him. I was encountering him in a way I had never encountered before. And it was physical, tangible. I could feel it. And I was really blown away by it. But really what it did, because I obviously came back, right? It made me aware of who he is here. So often we get caught up in stuff, and we miss what he's doing. We miss that he's here. We miss that he's working. We miss that there's opportunities that he's inviting us into, because we're just not aware. He made me aware, and I can't escape it. I want the manifest presence of God. Every time we're together, we should be crazy nuts, just jumping around, yelling, screaming. I'm serious. And people should be jumping out of wheelchairs. And you know, no one should leave here unhealthy today. No one. Why? Because the presence of the Lord's here. He wants to meet your needs. I've never, ever found God to not meet my need. He's not met plenty of my wants. You know, I wanted four boys. I got four girls. He knew my need. No, no, seriously. He knew my need. He knew what would melt my heart. He knows the things that would make you sensitive to him. Lori said in a message, actually I was up north listening to it, she said, God doesn't want relationship. And that, you know, catches people's attention. She goes, God is relationship. And there's a difference. That's all he knows, because that's who he is. And he invites that into, you know, and we just miss all those invitations because of stuff. So we need to pursue him, and pursuing him should lead us to pursue each other. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near to God, pursue him, with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love, good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. So what am I saying? I say we draw near to God, and he leads us to draw near to one another. It's really simple. You know, the passage in Acts that we just talked about, I just highlighted a couple things. Being devoted to him, which they were, and seeking his word, right, led them to be together, devoted to one another, and the culmination of it was what? Praising God. When we pursue him and pursue one another, God gets the glory. Your life exists to give God glory. So we stand in this wonderful sanctuary, and I honestly have no memories of this thing being built. None. Zippo, I don't know what, it was 85 that you guys moved in? Right? I was a teenager doing what the teenagers do, and I wasn't very helpful, apparently. You know, I was going to college here, so I don't remember it being built. But I was always fascinated by the stonework, and I knew my dad worked on that, but I mentioned something the other day to them, and they're watching, by the way. They're both turned 90, and they'll be married 70 years this year. You know, traveling's a little rough, so they're not here, but I did tell my mom to text if she got a word. I look at all this stonework, and I mentioned that to him, and he said, I touched every brick in that place, and I poured all the mortar. I thought, wow. You know, but absent of him and whomever worked on it touching every brick, that brick probably never touched that brick. But yet, when they all do their part, you get this beautiful structure. And if you ever pulled one of them out, it damages the whole structure. And God's really built us that way. We're building bricks and stones. A couple verses on that. 1 Peter 2 says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. See, that should be your life. We should be rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You know, I realize that even with the people here today, many of you, I won't touch your lives at all. You know, there's only so much time, there's only so much context. If after the service, Mike and I are having a conversation, it takes an hour, most of you will have gone away, and I will only have contacted Mike. That doesn't make you any less important or impactful in my life. And I was talking to Michelle last night, and sometimes you just don't get to be able to tell people how important they are in your life. And it's a tragedy to some degree, because I've had people come up to me and tell me all kinds of things. Yeah, of what they thought of me. Yeah, it was interesting because I thought totally different of them. You know, but the opportunity to express yourself to people is really important. So I want everyone to have this clear. You are important. What God's doing, you are part of. What God's doing, I am part of. We can't do it without one another, even if we never cross paths doing it. You are a precious people. Ephesians 2, verse 21 says, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. There isn't anyone excluded. If our journeys don't cross, other than a Sunday morning that occasionally you get to hear me rant to you, you know, that's what it is. It doesn't make you any less important in my life. There's many people I saw over the weekend that I haven't seen forever, it feels like. I mean, 20 plus years. I've never got a chance to tell them how important they were in my life. There's many that have passed on. I never got a chance to tell them how important my life. Some of them would never figure out they were important in my life. Never. Like, Mike, I used to write you letters. Didn't know that, did you? Yeah, see, no, I did. He was my youth pastor at one time, way back when. And yeah, I'm kind of an introverted guy, like to keep things to myself, but I build up and I burst, so I'd write. And I wrote to somebody I trust. I trusted Mike. He was, in authority over me. And just to be able to get that out to somebody I trust, it was like breaking me free of all this stuff. But he'd never know how that he was important to me. He'd never know it. But it was essential for me and impactful in my life. So many like that. There's leaders in this place that they would have probably thought that I was just absolutely in opposition to them the whole time. And I wasn't. You know, they're just impactful in my life. So many. Don't ever think, oh, Bruce didn't say hi to me today. Yeah, I probably didn't. That makes you like in unity with 99% of the people in the place. You know, sometimes I'm just so single focused, I think I'm the only one here. God's working on me. You know, allow him to work on me. Doesn't mean you're not important. Every person here is important. Every person here will impact my life today. Every person. 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to skip around a little bit here. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Verse 14, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Verse 18, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Now, as somebody that's been in leadership, that can be tough. When somebody leaves in a manner that you're like, oh, it's not the way I would have wanted it to go. It's really, do you trust God? You know, as leaders, I've had so many people come up to me throughout the years and say, you need to do something about this. I'm like, yeah, no. Why? Because I trust God. There are times you have to do something about things. But most of the time, Holy Spirit is just way better at stuff. You know, And now that we have counselors and stuff that are really good and can sort all that stuff out, that's just not me. You know, I'm the type of person that makes a mess messier. So you really want me involved? You know, those kind of thoughts go through my head. But I trust God. He can do it way better than I can do it. Or he's raising up to you do it, so since you brought it to me, maybe you should get involved. Verse 20, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. Verse 25, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. I'm telling you, that brick is just as important as that one. Now, these are all just my observations from the celebration. Again, I'm sure you have plenty more. But I'm going to walk away realizing how important you are and how precious you are to God and to me, and how, whether I ever touch your life again, you've impacted my heart. Verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. So, I'm working towards a conclusion. We've talked about the past, we've talked about the present, I want to talk a little bit more about the future. And Terry said this verse, Haggai 2:9, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty, and in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Now, we can get excited about a lot of things. And we should get excited about what the Lord's going to do. We should get excited about the visions we have and the dreams we have and all the plans we make and all those sorts of things. But the most exciting thing to me in that verse is he will grant peace. Because I understand the mess that comes when God moves. I'm telling you, I've seen people's lives trampled because of a move of God. I've seen people turn their backs on a move of God. Most important thing in a move of God is that he grants peace. Peace towards what's going on and peace towards one another. See, there's better days ahead. Dwell in the peace of the Lord. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8 says, the end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Now, I've never felt that I was a very patient person, but it's been 61 and a half years of me waiting for the promises of God to be fulfilled in this place. And it would be very easy for me to look back and remember the times in the presence of the Lord with everybody in unity doing the liturgic thing and all that. That was fun stuff, right? And it is glorious, really glorious. And dwell there. But either I'm going to believe what God says or I'm not. And what's coming is way better. I always thought it was weird. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, and guess what? You guys are going to do greater things. But yet, we could, all the books in the world wouldn't encapsulate what I did. And you're going to do greater things. Somehow we missed that part. Do you understand how important you are to him? How precious you are to him? And how important you are to one another? So I've said that, you know, not all things are pretty whenever people are present and we look for ways to divide. And I can recall some not so good times through the years, and they really have no impact in my life whatsoever. They're just like, yeah, that's factual, but that's not really my reality. Why? And it's really because it's Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. See, that's you. So, on behalf of leadership, you know, if I tend to offend people, and or I have, or whatever, you know, get over it. Honestly, the best thing you can do for yourself is to forgive. Yeah. Forgiveness isn't for me. It's for you. If I bugged you, forgive me. Why? Then you can move on. Why would you hold on to that? If leaders upset you in this place, forgive them. Move on. God has something way better for you. He will turn it all for good. See, I've seen it in my life. That's where I can look at the whole picture, and I see the good stuff here. And I see the greater stuff to come. Why? Because it's all good. Why? Because it's all God. He can take a mess and make it beautiful. So, coming down the home stretch, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Until the day of Christ Jesus. And then I'm skipping down, but there was a part in there that says it's like it's right for God to have put this in my heart. And I want to say it's right for God to have put this in my heart towards you. And this is my prayer, verse 9, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Why? To the glory and praise of God. I bless you with that. Will you guys stand? Will the worship team come? Okay, got a word. This day, says the Lord, I'm doing a new thing in the hearts of my people. The past is gone. A new beginning has begun. I am speaking to this body of people this morning. I am not done. I am just beginning. Each one of you are here this morning who have stepped into this building. I am fulfilling your dreams. Yes, your heart's cry. Just learn to wait upon me, for as you do, Holy Spirit will speak, and new revelation will be revealed into the hearts of this body. I have called you into unity this day for a reason, for this body of believers will be the ones to go forth clothed in my glory, ready for battle, for I have prepared you for such a time as this, as I bring comfort into the body, for now is not the time for fear, it is a time of love, peace, and joy. A time of gathering together where my glory flows freely and miracles after miracles take place. Just speak my name and see the hand of the Father God manifest among this body of believers this morning. Do not be in a hurry. Just let me show myself strong to my children. For my love will sustain you for what is ahead. I have already gone before you as the battle is mine and we have already won. You will walk in victory and see great rejoicing in the streets because of Holy Ghost fire. Yes, the fire shall be seen outside this building, because you shall all burn for me as I have filled this body of people with fuel that will not burn out. Did I not say they will come from the north, the south, the east, and the west? Open your doors wide, for this house will be a house of prayer. Many will come and many shall go, but the name of Jesus Christ will be glorified through you, my chosen ones, for such a time as this. That was for my mom. I knew she'd get a word. Come on, you guys should rejoice more than that. So I want to conclude with this verse just because it's a normal verse. And then I'm going to request that everyone come forward and we're going to lead the celebration in worship together with nothing dividing us. Hosea 6:3 in the King James says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. A verse we use all the time here. I used to think that's okay. I can just use that to say I have no idea what's going on, but I'm going forward. But the Amplify it brings it this way. It says, yes, let us know recognize, be acquainted with, and understand Him. Let us be zealous to know the Lord, to appreciate, give heed to, and cherish Him. His going forth is prepared and certain as the dawn, and He will come to us as the heavy rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. See, He's coming to you because He's prepared you. And you're ready for the heavy rain. So let's worship Him together. Please come.